In the professional business world, and maybe even in the realm of mental health, it has been suggested that mantras or phrases, catchwords, can help us to keep onto our targets, to help even alleviate mental anxiety. Several variations include get up, dress up, show up, and never give up. Or wake up, dress up, show up, do your best. Get up, suit up, show up, and step up. These phrases are commonly used to encourage perseverance, discipline, and commitment. The one that I remember is a shortened example of the first one, get up, dress up, show up. And I think that could go a long ways as guidance for our modern society. Today in the epistle lesson, we hear the truth of Scripture that is so powerful that it transforms everything about us, our past, our present, our future. That truth is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection is not just some historical event that happened 2,000 years ago. And it's not merely something hypothetical that we believe in, like string theory. The resurrection is a reality that transforms the way that we live right now and the way that we will live forever. In 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul addresses believers who are having or struggling with doubts about the resurrection. Some questioned if the dead really rise. Others lived as if this life was all that there was. But Paul emphatically declares Christ is risen, and because he is risen, we too will rise. I think we tend to forget about the impact that that has on our lives. So I came up with this mantra or phrase that I think will be helpful for all of us, 4 points that will challenge you to live as God would have you live. Now, each of the 4 points has a dual meaning, one for today, our present life, and one for our eternal future. So the first one is wake up. Open your eyes to your spiritual life now and prepare to awaken in the resurrection. Stand up. Be firm in the faith today and be raised to stand in glory when Christ returns. Dress up. Clothe yourself with Christ's righteousness now and be dressed in immortality at the resurrection. And then the last is live forever. Walk in eternal life today and enter fully into life everlasting when the trumpet sounds. In 1 Corinthians 15:34, Paul writes, "Wake up from your drunken stupor, as is right. Do not go on sinning, for some have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame." I really like the New King James Version a little better. It says, "Awaken to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." I'm sure most of us, at one point or another, have overslept, missed our alarm clock, maybe after a long night, and we wake in panic that we will be late once again to that job or to that important appointment. As you hurry to get dressed, to get where you need to be, you swear to yourself that this will never happen again. Many, many people live their lives in this way, swearing that someday they will change their lives and live as God intended. Waking up to righteousness means that we live aware of who Jesus is, what he has done for us, and how that changes our lives. We are to rise from our spiritual slumber and walk in newness of life. This is especially important because one day the trumpet will sound and Jesus will shake us as we sleep in the grave, waking us to eternal life. In 1 Thessalonians 4:16, Paul writes that, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. The resurrection is God's final wake-up call, bringing all people into everlasting life. The reality is, though, that those who are asleep spiritually now will waken to eternal life in hell. But those who are awake to righteousness now will spend eternity in heaven. It is imperative that we are prepared for that day when God wakes the dead. The next verses, 35 through 41, really help us to explain the next two mantras, stand up and dress up. There's so much going on in our lives today, in the world today. Many of us have a problem facing the day, unwilling or maybe even unable to get out of our beds. It's so much easier just to be disengaged. But I want you to picture in your mind, if you will, an old tree. Looking on the internet, I found that the single oldest tree is thought to be almost 5,000 years old. It's a pine tree located in the White Mountains of California. That old tree has stood through many, many storms. The winds shake it, but it does not fall because its roots are deep. And that is the key for us also. Our roots need to be deep. Deep in Christ, deep in His Word, deep in the promises of that Word. Psalm 56, 10, 11 says, "In God whose Word I praise, in the Lord whose Word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me?" Being firmly rooted in the truth of God's word helps us to get out of bed, to stand, to face the day's challenges. We need not be afraid. Nehemiah 9:5 reads, "Stand up, praise the Lord your God. He lives forever and ever." So the people said, "Lord, may your gracious name be praised. May it be lifted high above every other name that is blessed and praised." And praise Him we will. For one day we will physically stand up from the grave at the resurrection. And just as Jesus bodily rose from the grave, we too will rise from the grave. We will all stand before our Creator, and everyone, believers and non-believers alike, will bow in Christ's presence, praising the Creator, the Redeemer, the Sanctifier, confessing the Triune God. And we will be sorted, believers to heaven, unbelievers to hell. That it is so important that we should be like that old pine tree, awake, standing firm, rooted deeply in God's word, so that when God raises us on that last day, we stand in glory with all believers headed to our heavenly home. The first three parts of our mantra, wake up, stand up, and now dress up. What does it mean for us to dress up? To dress up does not mean for us to put on some silly costumes like we were kids. It means that we are called to put on Christ's righteousness, living as those covered by His grace. Galatians 3, 27 through 29 reads, "For as many of you who were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise." We put on Christ just like soldiers put on their armor preparing for battle. As Christian, God calls us to wear the armor of God, as Paul describes in Ephesians chapter 6, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the readiness of the gospel as shoes for our feet. We are also called up to take the shield of faith, wear the helmet of salvation along with the sword of truth. To dress up is to put on Christ and actively live in holiness, in faith, and in truth. To dress up at the resurrection will to be put on our glorified bodies, body and soul united forever. But what does that look like? How does it compare to the body that we have now? These are questions that many pastors hear. I'm sure many of us look forward to a body that's better, stronger, healthier than we have now. It reminded me of the opening to the $6 Million Man TV series. How many of you remember that opening dialogue? Steve Austin, astronaut, a man barely alive. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's first bionic man. Steve Austin will be that man. Better than before. Better, stronger, faster. Paul says that in the resurrection, we will be clothed with immortality, imperishable, raised in power and glory. Our weak, sinful, dying bodies will be transformed into glorious, imperishable ones, better even than the $6 million man. What that will look like, no one really knows exactly. The Bible isn't giving us minute details. We can look to Christ's example, however, for he is the first fruits from the dead. In Luke 24, 39 and following, Jesus tells his disciples, "See my hands and feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they were still disbelieving for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. Christ, after the resurrection, had a physical body, was recognized by his disciples to include the scars on his hands and feet. Does that mean that our bodies will bear scars after the resurrection? Maybe. But they won't be a source or a sign of the pain and suffering as our scars are now. Our bodies will be free from the effects of sin. Revelation 21 tells us that we won't be sorrowful or that we won't feel any pain and that death will be no more. And after Jesus returned from the grave, there are several accounts where Jesus ate. He even had broiled fish with the disciples on the beach. This is not only a sign of fellowship with him, but a further indication of what our resurrected bodies will be like. Jesus ate, so will we eat in heaven? The Bible does point that way as it mentions heavenly banquets and the marriage supper of the Lamb. But I think it's also important for us to understand that we only know in part now what heaven will be like then. But we do know that what we dress up in now, faith in Christ, will be perfected spiritually and physically. It will be our eternal reality. The last part of our mantra, wake up, stand up, dress up, is live forever. This really ties into that old saying, now but not yet. Eternal life doesn't begin after your death. It begins at the very moment that we put our faith in Jesus. We are called to live like resurrection people now, walking in victory over sin and death. Jesus said, whoever believes in me will have Actually, whoever believes in me has eternal life from John 6:47. And that's not just someday, but today. And one day we will fully enter eternal life when Christ returns. Death will be no longer. We will be raised to live forever with him. What was sown in weakness, our earthly bodies, will be raised in power, our glorified bodies. Think of the sunflower seed illustration from the kids' sermon. The seed buried in the ground looks dead, but in time, it rises to something greater, more glorious, more beautiful. That is our future. We will be planted in death, but raised in glory. So I encourage you today to remember and live by our mantra. Wake up, stand up, dress up, and live forever. If you have been spiritually asleep, wake up to the truth of Christ. If you have been wavering, stand up in the faith. If you have been unprepared, dress up in Christ's righteousness. And if you have been afraid of death, rejoice in the promise that you have eternal life now and forever. May we all live as resurrection people, awake, standing, dressed, and full of eternal life. Amen.